Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Football! Friday, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney show. Look at this guy. Oh, wait till you see Tiki. Tiki is all geared up for Halloween today. We're coming in from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs in real time. Rocket Ken. Obviously, tons of stuff happening with the NFL. Week 8, Steelers, Ravens, Niners, Seattle. Some big games. Halloween weekend, we'll get to the Trevor Lawrence stuff. Look at this guy, the Wookiee, Dink. Are you going to wear that thing all day or no?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God. You know, such an underrated character, too. Like,
he's
he was
a great character.
Loyal, you know, when he had a fire that, I don't even know what that weapon was. It looked like it was like part sling, part rocket.
Exactly.
Whatever the hell it was, he was accurate with it. Chewie was a trip, man.
Chewie was the best. So I'm missing Halloween tomorrow, BT. So today I was Chewie all day for the girls. Tegan was terrified when I got up this morning and had my costume on. Yeah. She started running away to mommy, but she was BB-8. She was the new droid,
yep.
The little droid, and Brooklyn was Princess Leia.
There
so
he is.
It was kind of cool. It was
I
cool
love it. I love it. Oh my God, that's great.
I picked them up from school too, and it, so all the other parents were like, "What in the heck?"
Did you pull up with the headgear
yes,
on, or like
yes,
you did?
Yes, I got out of the car, had the headgear on. Tracy had a Darth Vader mask on, so it was fun.
I love it. You know, I've got some Star Wars gear around.
I know.
Too. I know.
You know what? Like 2 years ago, you were right.
Hey, Jen. Hey, babe, get me the Darth Vader mask, okay?
Nice.
Hurry up. I'm on the air. Thanks, baby. Here's the whole crew. Look at those skinny legs. You know, the Wookiee's usually a bit thicker than that, but that's marathon Wookiee, I see.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm going to do, by the way. I'm going to do the virtual marathon on Sunday when I get back from Alabama.
26.2?
I'm going to do it locally. I was going to go in the city and do it, but I'm going to do it locally and then have some beer and cook out with my buddies. So
I love it. We're doing the thing as a family tomorrow. You know, Kinsley, we held her out. She just turned 4, so she's home with mommy and daddy. So she'll get to be Tinkerbell tomorrow.
Nice.
And Colt was a fireman today. But it's funny. This is one of my favorite pictures. These are the four images from when Colton was first born. All right. Obviously, daddy had a lot of say over that costume. And then mommy flexed, and suddenly daddy is part of Wizard of Oz. Okay, daddy smiled, almost died, almost overheated.
So what was the first year? The first year was?
Star Wars.
For Star Wars.
He was Yoda.
And then the second year was?
Wizard of Oz. And then the third year was Sesame Street.
Nice.
I was Big Bird.
You were Big Bird. That's right. I remember that one, too.
Begrudgingly, but not bad. And then daddy got his hands back on the wheel last year, and we were superheroes. I was Robin, his Batman. So
nice.
It's all fun. Hopefully everybody's ready to have a safe and enjoyable, obviously it's a pandemic Halloween, it's a little different.
Socially distanced Halloween.
For sure.
As it has to be.
It is. But we'll get through it, and looking forward to it, man. So the big story, obviously, is Trevor Lawrence. Now, the biggest name in college football, the most hyped quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, tested positive on Wednesday, and of course, aside from the young man's health, and hopefully he's okay, and based on the numbers, he should be, but you never know, so you have to always leave that, God forbid, that, you know, you can't just, oh, he's going to be fine. Yeah, we think he's going to be fine, but you still have to treat this as a virus and a disease that has killed people. Granted, not many people his age, but still.
Yeah.
We can't just be so flippant and say, well, he's going to miss the Notre Dame game. There's a human body attached to that virus. It just happens to be a name that everybody knows. He has experienced mild symptoms. Mm-hmm. That's obviously important. He's not asymptomatic. Now, the Boston College game, of course, we're going to steer this to football, but I just want to preface all that with the humanity aspect. Boston College, I mean, listen, it doesn't really matter who shows up. They're gonna probably wipe. And by the way, their backup's a five-star recruit. Nobody can say his name yet, but the kid's pretty good.
I almost got it, BT.
Say, let me, go ahead.
Let's see. Uyangalele.
Not bad.
Uyangalele.
Not bad. Did you hyphenate that? Did you yes. throw it out? You broke it down clearly.
It's really just the on. You got to remember the on in the middle because the uy is easy, right? Like chewy.
Yeah.
Uy. Uy is the beginning. Uh-huh. And then you got to remember the anga. Anga.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're good.
Okay.
Because there's no
okay.
G. There's no G, but you got to kind of say a G.
Well, good job. Whenever you sense that I'm trying to say it, just jump in and you say it for the show. Do us that favor.
Uyangalele.
There you go. So you don't need, what's his name?
DJ Uyangalele.
You don't need him against BC, but you're probably going to need him against Notre Dame. Listen.
Yeah.
First of all, any decision, all right, because I get it, invariably the attention turns to, oh, well, you know, what happens if they lose to Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence, or what happens even if they lost to Boston College and then they lose to... I believe that any determination as to who the best four teams are in the country will be made through the prism of this being the most unique college football season of all time.
It's a great point.
If star players are not there, you'd have to think that the committee is smart enough to extrapolate and then apply whatever they need to apply to come up with a reasonable deduction that if Trevor Lawrence is playing, Clemson's winning. So I don't worry about that. Do you share that sentiment?
Here's the issue with the college football playoff this year, BT. They have to determine, you know, whether or not teams that, you know, lose a star player. Now, teams have lost players already, and they, like Virginia Tech, we've talked about, they played without 20 guys for a couple of their weekends. They're not in the conversation for the college football playoff, but this is one of the challenges that we knew was going to happen at the beginning of the year with the college football playoff is how do you do it fairly, right? Do you do it based on how successful a team has been and, you know, what their record is, how they finish in their conference, or is it – you know, all things considered, this is the COVID part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is a team that maybe lost the game because, hey, Clemson didn't have Trevor Lawrence and DJ Uiagalelei was not quite as ready or as good as he should have been when they played Notre Dame and they lost a tight game, but they're still with Trevor Lawrence, one of the best teams in the country. That's the decision that's going to be really hard for this committee when they get closer to this down the line.
But I don't think it's going to be that hard because I don't think there's going to be enough teams that could really vie for that kind of attention. I think maybe this is naive. I just think this is going to sort itself out as we get deeper into the season. Now we'll have to see.
You're probably right.
But the one of the outliers would be, this would be a variable that would be concerning in terms of getting it right. What if the Buckeyes don't play more than six games?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the conference mandate.
We broached that like 3 weeks ago or so when we first heard they were coming back.
Yep.
They're doing eight games in 8 weeks. We already know that Wisconsin is not playing a game this week.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is in the top 10 in college football rankings right now, at least the AP rankings. Are we just going to disqualify them if they can't play for 2 weeks now? You know what I mean? So it just becomes unfair. And it's nobody's fault. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make this determination? It could Wisconsin be one of the best teams in the country? I don't know yet. Maybe, but we might not have a chance to find out because they're not going to play enough games, and they might not even be able to play, you know, the better teams in their conference like Ohio State or Michigan because of the coronavirus and how it affects these games each and every weekend.
And the other conference mandate here is if you don't play six conference games, mm-hmm. you can't vie for the conference championship.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't want to even speak it into the universe, so I'll say, what if Team X, who is so clearly the best team in the conference, plays five games? They go 5-0. They can't compete for the conference championship. That I don't have the answer to.
No.
And I don't pretend to have the answer to that. But back to Lawrence, I want to read something real quick for you here. So, pursuant to CDC guidance, a student-athlete who tests positive for COVID-19 shall be isolated for at least 10 days from the onset of symptoms / positive test, and at least one day, 24 hours, has passed since recovery defined as resolution of fever without the use of fever-reducing medications and improvement of respiratory systems, example, cough, shortness of breath. So, mm-hmm. we're trying to determine whether or not to push this forward, you know, past Boston College, from what we do for a living, everybody's concerned about Clemson, Notre Dame. It must be determined first when the symptoms began for Lawrence. I know that he tested positive on Wednesday. That we know, that's a fact.
Yep.
But when did the symptoms begin? If that date preceded his positive test on Wednesday, it would lead to an earlier start for his isolation clock, which could obviously and quite strongly open up the door as long as he's okay, and he goes through the respiratory activities and he's fine, to play against Notre Dame.
But aren't you positive that that's what's going to happen?
Pretty much.
I mean, it's no different than when Nick Saban, the head coach at Alabama, tested positive for the coronavirus, and he's required to quarantine for 14 days unless there are three consecutive negative tests, not less than 24 hours apart, each of those tests. And, Nick Saban tested positive on, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? Guess what?
Sounds
He took a Tuesday, he took a bunch of tests every day, and ultimately was determined to be a false positive, and he was able to coach. Now, that one was rectified correctly because he didn't actually have the coronavirus. So him being on the sideline didn't feel like it was skirting the rules, whereas the COVID rules and protocol rules, whereas Trevor Lawrence, who has the coronavirus and is, we don't know the real, contagious, length of contagion, contagious nature. We don't know if it's 3 days or 6 days or 18 days. We don't know. We don't really know it because I think it varies per person. But if we're skirting the rules so he barely fits in to be eligible to play, 9 days from now instead of 10 days from now.
Yep.
I mean, aren't we – what are we doing? Aren't we –
we don't know what we're doing. Honestly,
that's exactly right.
There's
that's
a
exactly
lot of guessing, right. and there's a lot of somewhat educated throwing of darts. I don't mean where, you're 10 beers in and you're flinging darts. I mean, yes, there's medical parameters and scientific – direction that is being followed, but it's not flawless. It's the first time we've gone through this with this particular virus, so there's no guaranteed answer. And you, by the way, you said before, are you pretty much guaranteed that Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine? But you know what? Did you read Emmanuel Sanders' account of what he's battled?
No, I didn't.
It's pretty harrowing.
Yeah.
The fog and the way he wakes up and the way he feels and I know that Trevor Lawrence is younger than Sanders, but it's not like Emmanuel Sanders is 40 or 50. He's, what is he, 29, 30?
Yeah, maybe 30.
In the perceived window of being safe. Here's what I would fear, all right? From a football point of view. All right, say the young man's name again.
DJ Uianga-Lele.
Okay. That's actually not that hard. The more you say that, I'm going to get that.
You just slow it down.
I just need to write it phonetically.
Just say Uianga-Lele.
I keep thinking Ui Blob, the old big man from back in the day. Big man.
Dude, that's a pull from nowhere.
That's a pull. I think the Mavericks drafted him. However, I think it was Dallas. Anyway, so let's say that Trevor Lawrence is back up right now.
DJ, just call him DJ.
I'm going to call him DJ.
Yeah.
DJ is fine.
Yep.
But again, we don't know the window of contagion, if you will. And God forbid, what if he tests positive in 3 days? And let's just say that based on the onset of the symptoms, and again, there's a lot of hypotheticals here, clearly, but I just want to paint a picture that anything is on the table, unfortunately. Say if Trevor Lawrence is not clear to play against Notre Dame, and say if DJ comes down with COVID-19, test positive, same quarterback room, within the next 3 days, maybe you have the third string playing against Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
and
it's
that's,
not
and
completely
that's,
inconceivable
and
BT, that happens.
That's what happened to Wisconsin.
Exactly. Well, sure.
And so, at that point, they'd probably have to suspend football operations.
Well, only if it's greater than 5%, but what if you're lucky and it's only a few guys?
Yeah,
but the wrong guys.
You have a huge team, but it's the wrong guys because they're in the same room. And they're unlike in the NFL or the professional leagues where there's just a little bit of an outbreak in any of these NFL teams, all meetings go virtual. So they're not in the same room anymore. They're not hanging out anymore. They're all virtual when they have these outbreaks in the NFL. I don't think that they're following those same kind of rules in college. They may be, but I don't think they are. But it's why we see you know, when one or two guys get it at a college, at a college team, it's, it ends up being like eight or nine guys ultimately end up coming down with it. That's why in Wisconsin, it turned out to be, I think, almost 10 players and coaches who ended up testing positive for the coronavirus, because they don't have the same distancing protocols that they do in the NFL, where as soon as you find a positive, everybody disperses and they do everything virtual. They don't have that in college.
No. And I can't help but think, you know, you look at, you know, the other great quarterback at Ohio State, who we're going to talk about in depth with Trevor Lawrence from a football point of view next segment.
Justin Fields.
What if, you know, there's a 21-day window in that conference?
Yeah.
ACC's not – they're wrestling with 10 days. It's different.
Yeah.
So can you imagine, I mean, the – just like with Wisconsin, although Wisconsin's not – well, I mean, they are a top 10 team, but they're not viewed to be a preeminent, you know, top 4 team, a nationally viable – that doesn't mean they couldn't be that.
Unless they were, you know what
I mean? Saying, that doesn't mean that they can't become that, but at least right now, and we've been wrong before – I don't know that anybody has them positioned there, only because we know that, you know, Fields is a beast and they've got a great coach, and Lawrence is a beast and they've got a great coach and they've got talent and they've got pedigree, and Alabama's Alabama. It's not like this is a year of complete transition. There's a lot of carryover from last year that we know. So Wisconsin still, in a lot of ways, is a relative unknown compared to those three schools that I just mentioned. But if this... I keep saying God forbid, I don't want to be overly dramatic here, but from a football point of view, like if this... you know, were to rip through Ohio State's program, it's very different than ripping through Clemson's, because it's basically 11 more days.
That's right. In the ACC, and I think it's the same in the SEC, maybe the Big 12 as well. It's a game and maybe two. It's a game and maybe two.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to say it. A game and maybe two. In the Big 12 and the Big 10, it's three games that you're missing immediately.
Unless you have a bye. Actually, you wouldn't have a bye. No, there is no bye. What am I saying? That's true.
It's three solid weeks that you're missing. That's three games. And that's just untenable for some of these teams if it's one of their stars that they're dependent upon for winning.
Okay. All right. So we wanted to obviously start the show with that. We, you know, we send our prayers. Not, again, not to be overly dramatic, but hopefully Trevor's okay, and hopefully they get through this and navigate this as many people have, and many people unfortunately will continue to do so. Based on the numbers, I think there were 90,000 new cases yesterday.
That. It's a lot.
All right. Coming up next here, is there a case to be made on any level? This had nothing to do with COVID. It just, the timing of the conversation might make it seem that way. Nothing. Completely independent of what, of the news that we got with Trevor Lawrence. Is there any case to be made that Trevor Lawrence shouldn't go number one and Justin Fields should? Can you have that conversation and not sound crazy? I submit that you can. And we'll do it next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. 855-212-4CBS. Want to know what really is scary? Well, seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, Teak, just the symbolism of it, man. I can't see a damn thing right. I can't breathe. I can't see. I'm trying to get a little Star Wars theme here with you, buddy. I've actually got my glasses under the Darth Vader mask, but these little slits, these little eyeball inserts are not clear. I can't see anything. So there's no way that I can do the show like this. Can you imagine, seriously, if Darth Vader and Chewie ever teamed up, like really hooked up?
Oh, they'd be badass.
Oh,
together.
They would be legit badass. They would be. And by the way, I've got my glasses under here, which are fogging up. All right. Jeez.
I am your father.
Yeah. Hey, take it easy there, buddy. Take it easy. So, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. I want to ask the question. I'm going to first ask the question, and I'm going to lay out, and I'm going to let you answer it, and then we'll go from there. Is it completely ludicrous to suggest that right now, as we stand here the day before Halloween, just entering November of the 2020 football season, months away from the 2021 NFL draft, that Justin Fields should not be in the conversation to go first overall? Is it unfair to Justin Fields not to be in the mix?
I know we're talking Star Wars, but you got like Spaceballs going on. Ludicrous.
I'm jumping a ludicrous speed. Nicely
ludicrous done. Speed.
Really? It's not ludicrous, but go ahead.
I'm only joking with you. It was like too good of an a comparison for me not to make.
Would think that it's ludicrous.
Yeah, you're right. But you could have some conversations around this, BT. I wouldn't do it because Trevor Lawrence just he's big. He's 6'6", and he's 230 pounds. He's got the cannon for an arm. He's a very, very good athlete, 4'6"-ish, 40 or so. I mean, last season he had 9 rushing touchdowns. It was almost 500 yards rushing, which is in line with this evolution of the quarterback position that we've seen in the NFL. So you're a runner, but you're not Lamar Jackson, but you're close.
Josh Allen.
Exactly.
He's not either.
But you can be effective with your legs. You have to give a defense something to think about.
Correct.
And, you know, the question is, as these offenses have evolved and they grow and you are a team, say like the Jets, because that's what we're talking about here, if you're number one overall, and you bring in a college coach or someone who's going to get one of these, you know, newer type offensive schemes, would you rather have the traditionalist in pocket passer, or at least potential in pocket passer like Trevor Lawrence, or are you going to go with Justin Fields, who's slightly more athletic, you know, not a ton. Their rushing numbers, interestingly, BT, are almost identical from last season and even into the early part of this season. So they're very similar / interchangeable players. You know, I know that Mike Tannenbaum, you sent this in our Slack channel earlier, compared Justin Fields to Cam Newton. Well, you know, Cam Newton is almost 6'6 and 250 pounds. Justin Fields is 6'3.
223.
220. So, I mean, it's not quite Cam Newton, but he is a runner like that. And he's physical when he has to be. And we've seen that already this season. What do you have, 57 yards last weekend on the ground? I think a rushing touchdown also. It's not ludicrous, but it's not something that I would think about doing, because Trevor Lawrence has had so much experience being a starter, being a national champion, and it just feels like he's plug and play right away. I think Justin Fields is going to need a little bit more work on the pro level.
Let me read something to you from Mark Sanchez. He says, quote, "I think the gap's closer than most people think. You look at these last 4 games Fields has played. It was Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Clemson. He had 10 touchdowns, 2 picks. This kid can really play. He'll close the gap quickly. You look at Trevor last year, in his toughest games, it was Clemson, which I still think Ohio State should have won because they got screwed up on a couple of calls, and then LSU.
Yeah.
And then he says that those were not great football games for Lawrence. They forced him to stand in the pocket, beat you with his arm, convert third downs consistently, and have 10-plus play drives. He ended up in those 2 most important games, 36-for-70. That's not a top quarterback in the country number. Okay. Yeah. One man's opinion. Let me give you my opinion. I think that at this point, everything's on the table. I think that, you know, when I look at Trevor, yes, you're right. Even more than prototypical size. He's bigger than most.
Maybe almost too tall, right? Didn't we have that conversation a couple years ago?
Many times.
Who was it from the Broncos?
It was about Brock Osweiler.
But he was like 6'7", almost 6'8".
6'8", and Dan McGuire back in the day from San Diego State, Mark McGuire's brother. Basically, if you missed that conversation Tiki and I had, the taller you are as a quarterback, it actually becomes a bit of a disservice to you, because mechanically there's just more things where the arm slots, because it's a longer loop and it's more extension, blah, 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 where things could go awry. That's why you don't see a lot of 6'7", 6'8", or any successful quarterback. So I look at Trevor Lawrence and I say, okay, the hype coming in out of high school justified, the pub justified, the numbers, the rating coming out of high school, all there, no doubt. Consensus number one pick, yes, that's still fully justified. But if you were to kind of scrape that away, and I know it's hard to do because it's ingrained in our minds, right? But if you scrape away all the pre-college stuff and what's transpired thus far and start to evaluate on the now, and take a snapshot of today, you're starting to see a player in Justin Fields whose throwing is absolutely catching up with his running. He's proven he could play in cold weather. He does that, you know, for Ohio State. Trevor Lawrence has not had to do that. Doesn't mean he can't be successful in it, but he hasn't had to do it. What's his name? Patty Mahomes played at Texas Tech. There's schools in that conference that are a little chilly. That's not a good example. Yeah. But the point being, I think the way the modern NFL has gone, and he's not 6'1", he is 6'3", legit 220. I think that in terms of the evaluation process, for me, I am open to anything. I am almost a little concerned that the one thing that Trevor Lawrence has had, and maybe you could say that Justin Fields has this as well, that Trevor Lawrence has had everything line up perfectly for him.
Yeah.
The conference he plays in has been weak. The team that he's been on has, you know, you pump out 7 to 10 pros a year.
Yep.
You've got a coach that's innovative. Like, there's so many, and he's great, of course. But for me to rule out Justin Fields right now, I'm not going to do it.
No, you got to give Justin Fields credit, because let's remember his path. So when he got to Georgia, remember, he transferred from Georgia. A lot of people, because he was so highly recruited, he was the second quarterback in the class. Trevor Lawrence was number one. They're in the same class, so they know each other, from, you know, their prep days. But when he got to Georgia, he was not a polished thrower of the football. And it's the only reason, despite fans and media and everyone calling for Justin Fields to get on the field in Georgia, it's the only reason that Jake Fromm beat him out. I mean, think about that. Jake Fromm beat out Justin Fields at Georgia to the point where Justin Fields felt like he needed to transfer. Now,
Burrow transferred.
Agreed. But Joe Burrow, you know, he was like
lots of players transfer.
True, but he wasn't. I don't think Joe Burrow came in as like this elite five-star, you know, superstar into college. You know, he's like the third choice at Ohio State, and it's why he ultimately decided to transfer.
I'm going to look up his ranking. I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't remember
what
it was.
He's not a two-star going to
Ohio State. Definitely not. But he wasn't Justin Fields.
Or
Trevor Lawrence. So you got to give a ton of credit to Ryan Day and his staff, in particular Mike Yurchik, who was his quarterback coach, because he got to Ohio State, BT, and it looked like he was a polished passer. I mean, he threw for, 50 touchdowns last year? He was responsible for over 50 scores. It was 53 scores he was responsible for, because he rushed for 10 touchdowns last year as well, only threw like 3 interceptions. And so much credit goes to Ohio State for quickly developing him into a big-time winner. Now, is college defense the same as the NFL? No, it's not. But there's something to how quickly he learned how to be ultra effective.
That's right.
as a passer.
That's right.
And that evolution
excites you.
Yes, exactly.
About his future.
It makes you feel like, man, he hasn't even touched his ceiling.
That's what I'm saying.
And so, but the only problem, if you are, let's keep using the Jets, because the Jets aren't winning.
It's going to be the Jets.
But if you're the Jets, are you saying, all right, we got a guy who perceptually, and Trevor Lawrence is the man. He's won championships. He fits all the narratives. He's tall. He's the great kid. He's marketable. He's everything, right? And he's right there versus the kid in Justin Fields, who might have to grow a little bit more to be what Trevor Lawrence is right now. That's the question, and it's a hard one, and there's really no right answer. But it's not a ludicrous conversation, that's for sure.
Well, let me give you my answer from the guy who might actually be cheering for one of these two guys. I would not stamp an answer on that definitively one way or the other. I just present this conversation as a means to a deeper conversation and a storyline to follow. I think it's still evolving. Listen, I do think Trevor Lawrence will go first overall. I do. But I think there's a chance that that can change, something I didn't even think was remotely feasible a couple of months. This is really starting to hit me.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe Burrow was a 4-star, and he barely made ESPN's top 300. He was number 298.
Oh, wow.
Let me read one more thing for you quick, because I know that you respect this guy. We've had him on the show a few times, and this is from, I got to find that. I've got a lot up here. Hold on. Brady Quinn. Mm-hmm. Okay? Brady Quinn says this.
Yeah.
He says,
big fans of Brady.
For sure. We've had him on a lot. This is on Justin Fields. He said he's going to be the player everybody wants to watch this year, partly because of what he did last year and others being and wondering what he can become in the future. I think when you look at Justin, we all know about Trevor Lawrence. Everybody assumes he's going to be the number one pick in the draft, but Justin Fields can change that narrative. This is really his campaign to see if he can leap up. He's warming up before games with an NFL football. This is something unprecedented to me. Everybody has unique warm-up routines. I've never seen any college quarterback warm up before a college game with an NFL football. Another thing, no knee brace. Remember last year he had the knee brace, a little banged up. Now he's fresh, a little lighter, a little leaner. This is his opportunity to do a lot this year, but it's also a chance to make a case for the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
So whether or not, you know, Brady's going to be right or Mark Sanchez is going to be right or they weren't great pros, that's immaterial to the conversation. They are former great college quarterbacks who were both first-round picks who were telling you, door's a little bit open.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
And here's the most important thing about Justin Fields is that he's getting a second year as to be the man. you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence has got it for 3 years because he took over for Kelly Bryant after, I think, three games his freshman year, won a national championship. It's just 3 years of him being the man. And there's something about the pressure of being a man that you have to face.
That's true.
Look no farther than, you know, Dwayne Haskins.
That's true.
Right? We talked about that when he decided to come out last year. Justin Fields is going to get 2 years to be the man with the target on his back, mm-hmm. with everybody knowing how good he's supposed to be and trying to find a way to stop him. He's had one audition so far. Again, it was against Nebraska, but it is what it is. He looked great, and that's all he can control is how great he looks each and every week.
Let me leave you with this. I know we have to break, but I'll leave you with this real fast. So if you believe that Trevor, if you're the Jets and you have the first pick, or the Jaguars, the Jets win again, whatever. Let's say the Jets or whomever, you have the first overall pick, and in your mind, you're married to Lawrence now. But as you go through the process, it narrows a bit, and you yep. really like Justin Fields. You know what you could do? You could trade out of one, mm-hmm. get a boatload of assets, and take Fields.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If somebody wants to come up, whoever it may be, Atlanta, whoever it is, trade uh-huh. out and go get them.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a good point.
If you love Fields, but you are enamored with it, like there's that just that little sliver pro Lawrence,
yeah.
maybe a couple of the first round picks can sway you. I'm just something to think about. All right, Teak, we'll get inbounds, out of bounds coming up after the update. Erica Herskowitz is in the house. We'll get that. We'll come back a little IBOB. Hersky's turn right now. Here she is. All right, doing our thing on a football Friday. Teak, you're here to hear. Time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy stuff. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros so we can spot it easier. And make sure you stick around and listen later on to the show. Teak and I will take the best one. And we'll answer it. We'll give you some props on the air, and we'll go from there. So challenge us. The more interesting the question, better chance that we'll actually hit it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Are the Pats getting prepared to have a wholesale yard sale. I don't know. It looks like there's some signs that could happen. We'll get to that coming up next hour. Jason Wright, president of the Washington football team, joins us as well. But Teak, right now, little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to rock?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so last night, Tiki, the Falcons defense finally held on to a late lead, and they picked off Teddy Bridgewater, who we discussed a lot on the show yesterday. With a minute to play, they sealed the win. Earlier in the second half, however, Teddy took a pretty vicious shot to the head from Falcons defensive end Charles Harris after he was tripped by Dante Fowler, so we got a little pinball action off, you know, one into the other. So he had a rough, that was a pretty vicious shot.
Yeah, it was.
Harris was ejected from the game, but reports say he will not be suspended. So in or out, either Harris or Fowler should be suspended for their dirty plays.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that. I know that you get fined for those hits on the quarterback, but I don't think a suspension is in order. These guys, you know, they're trying to play the game tough, and they're trying to, you know, get hard hits on quarterbacks. This was a dirty hit. The fine will be big, and it should be upheld. But I don't think you should suspend guys so out of bounds.
Teak, I totally agree. First of all, I mean tripping. I mean offensive linemen trip guys all the time.
That's every play. It's just a matter of whether they're going to call it or not.
Yep, they get those big hoofs out there, size 15, and they trip.
How bad did I get beat? Oh crap! I got a trip.
Yeah, that's true. If I can't hold him, I'm going to trip him.
Exactly.
The hit from Harris. I'm with you, man. Like, if the whistle's blown dead. And the quarterback is, you know, just kind of like not even like if he's talking to a ref and you come in and you blast him. Like, I mean, I've got to reserve suspensions for, you know, plays that are truly interpreted as I'm trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
And rather than making an aggressive play to try to catapult my team to a win. And listen, when you hit in real time, it looked bad. Don't get me wrong. But when you slow it down, I mean, Teddy's head went, I mean, it just looked not normal. And that adds to the ire, and that fuels the venom. And I get it, but it's a vicious game. I'm with you. You can make that a hefty fine, but definitely out of bounds for a suspension.
Are you in or are you out?
The Nets are making moves here. The Brooklyn Nets are making moves. So they hired Steve Nash, as we know, as the head coach, despite no head coaching experience, all right? Now he's amassing quite the diverse and interesting coaching staff. He added former Suns teammate Amari Stoudemire, which we both liked. And now, reportedly, going to hire his former Suns coach, Mike D'Antoni. It's an assistant, D'Antoni. Wow. So while the Suns won over 54 games in four of his 5 years, the trio was together, none of the three ever made an NBA Finals in their careers jointly. In or out, it will be a mistake for the Nets to adopt a Suns fast-paced 7 seconds or less approach next season.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's inbounds. It would be a mistake for them to take that approach, but it doesn't mean that you can't incorporate some of the principles that are there. I don't know if they're built for that kind of offense, but all the minds that you can get, and especially for a head coach and Steve Nash, who has no experience being a head coach, I think it's fantastic. You accumulate talent on your bench, and it helps you make the right decisions at the right times. And you know, ultimately, this team is going to be driven by Kyrie and KD.
Yep.
But you got to pander to their strengths. So I'm going to say inbounds. It would be a mistake, but it doesn't mean you can't institute some of those principles.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds as well. But really, working under the assumption, I think that it should be a game by game situation, but matchup driven for sure. You know, the other thing, too, if you're asking these guys to play at this pace, which you can't do even if it's a 72-game season, if they're playing 35 minutes a night, that's probably not advantageous. You know, Durant's, 31 or so, coming off the Achilles, obviously. Kyrie's always banged up a little bit, nagging injuries. But I would be open to inserting here as a little surprise. I also do think, back to the hiring of Mike D'Antoni, this might be the best assistant coach hiring in the history of the NBA.
Right.
And the great thing about Steve Nash here is that he surrounded himself with people that he trusts and who are not going to try to sabotage his efforts as a first-year head coach for their cause. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing, trying to get the job and move in. You know, Steve's in a top seat, and it's going to be tough. But when you have people around you that you love and trust you and that you flourish with, and you trust, more importantly, it should be a winning recipe if Durant's still Durant, that he should be, and Kyrie's healthy and everything's good. But on the surface, great hire.
Yeah.
And philosophically, you got to play a little defense. And 7 seconds or less does not allow you to play the defense required to win an NBA championship.
Are you in or are you out?
AJ Hinch hired by the Tigers. Hmm. All right. We know about this. Obviously missed the 2020 season after the sign-stealing scandal. But he's back. All right. He has signed a contract. He's going to be the skipper for the Tigers. And Hinch never finished below 500 in Houston, all right? He won 100 games multiple times, but was just 80-123 in two seasons with the Diamondbacks. So, A.J. Hinch is overrated as a skipper, considering the talent he had at Houston.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, BT. I think your coaches, managers, whatever you want to call them, the heads of teams that run sports teams, they're only as good as the talent that's given to them. And in Arizona, he didn't have a ton of it. But he had a lot of young talent when he was in Houston, and to craft them into the team that they became, despite the cheating side, that aside, I think he did a really good job, BT. So I'm going to say out of bounds. He's not overrated.
Listen, I think he is, what he inherited. They had back-to-back seasons where they won 50, I think it was 50-51.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the next year they won like 70, and then A.J. Hinch came in. And obviously there was, from the time you win 50 games, there was a bit of an upgrade in talent, but there's something to be said for cultivating young talent and harnessing that talent. I know baseball is individually driven. It's individual actions based within the or hidden within the team concept here. But I think A.J. Hinch did a terrific job. We've had him on the show. He's a Stanford guy. He's a former catcher. He gets it. I think he'll be better as a result. He's had a chance to kind of watch the game a little bit, which is not a bad thing. I think this is a terrific hire by a team that needs to get going. Tigers have been down for a while. I love it. They hired a good. I tweeted this. They hired a great baseball man. Good move.
Are you in or are you out?
The Coyotes, Arizona. They have renounced the rights to their fourth-round pick, 18-year-old Mitchell Miller. This story is crazy. A history Miller has of assault and racism surfaced from his time in junior high. According to court documents, I was reading this for over an hour this morning. Miller and another boy admitted to bullying a developmentally disabled African-American teen when they were 14. They beat him up. They called him racial slurs. They made him eat a lollipop that they dipped in the urinal in the boys' room. Just heinous stuff, man. At first, the Coyotes, they stood by the pick. But yesterday, they announced that Mitchell's a good hockey player, but we need to do the right thing as an organization, not just a hockey team, end quote, and he's gone. So the question is this. The Coyotes did overreact and give in to public pressure for something that Miller did when he was 14 years old.
I'm going to say out of bounds. They did not overreact. This is a organizational, I think, reckoning that's going on, and I think it's smart because if he's not a generational talent, and I don't know if he is or not, but I don't think he is. Clearly, he's not. It's not worth it, and you know, it's better to do the right thing and let this kid know that there are consequences for things that you did then.
Yep.
And then what's more important for us is that we have a community that believes and trusts in us, of fans. So, yeah, no, they did not overreact, out of bounds.
I have the same answer. My answer is out of bounds. And I've said it, you know, when it comes up a few times on the air, I'm not a fan of cancel culture. I'm just not. Especially when you're that young. However, you know, there are certain things that you're taught. Now, listen, I mean, I look back. Was I ever mean to kids? Yeah, I guess. Were kids mean to me? Yeah. I mean, you grow up in Brooklyn. Kids are going to make fun of you. You're going to make fun of kids. Yeah, I did, and I had it done to me. But the difference is, and this is a big difference, I remember from the time I as early as I can remember, when you, not even about race, although it is, when you are with somebody that has a developmental issue that is just not the same as you in mental capacity, and that is a character flaw. Like, to be mean to somebody that is either, you know, mentally disabled, whatever it might be, like that, there's got to be an internal checkpoint that somehow mommy and daddy, or mommy or daddy, or aunt, or somebody impressed upon you at an early age. That person, you do not bother. You do the opposite. You stick up, and if you're strong enough, you kick somebody's ass if they're doing something to that young boy or young girl.
Agreed.
You cannot have that in society.
Agreed.
I mean, bullying, we all agree bullying is horrendous, and you can't do it. But when somebody that can't, almost can't defend themselves, now that is off base. That is really off base. I don't care how old you are. Hour two coming up. Deacon and Kieran, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.